with the first pick.
In to another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We've hit about over a handful of these episodes now, and you know it's not going to slow down now that we got two more weeks of NFL season and it's full-time draft work. So just finished up divisional rounds of the playoffs, Senior Bowls in a week, so it's not slowing down anytime soon. So if you have your you need your NFL draft content needs, you know where to look. Again, I am Corey Kinnon, and again, I am with my wonderful co-host, Devin Jackson. Devin, another week. How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, man. Closing in on the Senior Bowl, and that's when things really started to kick into gear. And there's been a number of things, you know, kind of taking place in kind of the draft tour community. As usual, quarterbacks dominate the conversation, but it's been interesting to see kind of 28 of the 32 teams now are in draft season and draft mode, and it kind of really accelerates on who's everyone watching, and seems like everyone's watching, say, Flowers right now. I've seen a lot of talk about him and what he's been able to do, but that's kind of the beauty of draft season. You know, you get a lot of people that typically don't follow the draft. They're following draft because their teams are now eliminated and looking forward to, you know, April when the time comes to make the draft. So we're definitely hitting that time of year where takes are flying, and you know, once All-Star games hit, that's when you really started to see a ramp up.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Again, as we mentioned multiple times now, Senior Bowl in a week. A lot of changes to the roster since the roster was originally announced. Again, we've had some guys decide to go back to school who originally accepted offers. We've had some guys who've left offers on the table. And we've had some guys that have been late minute, guys who've pulled out of the All-Star game in general. So, just to mention some of the big names of guys who have pulled out, you know, Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah, Braden Daniels, offensive tackle out of Utah, Siaki Ika from Baylor, who we'll talk about tonight on the Defensive Tackles podcast, Zach Harrison out of Ohio State, Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech, Owen Papo, linebacker out of Auburn, Ventro Miller, linebacker out of Florida, Devon Witherspoon. That's a big one, man. That would have been so fun to see him down there. But his stock is soaring right now, so it kind of makes sense that he's just kind of going to ride that out to the combine. Jordan Battle apparently is still injured, safety out of Alabama. And then Jair Brown, who's had invites to both the Shrine and the Senior Bowl, but now he's not on the Senior Bowl roster anymore either. So I'm not sure what Jair is up to. But again, with some players pulling out, we've had some late adds as well. So four big ones. I mean, one not really big one because it's just honorary is Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker, who obviously tore his ACL down the stretch there, so he's not going to be playing, but he's going to be going through interviews. He's going to be going, you know, just being a presence down there in Mobile. Offensive tackle Warren McClendon, who is going to honor his teammate. Again, Warren McClendon was in that car accident that ended up killing two people from the Georgia football program, including one of his teammates. So he's going to be wearing his number, actually, in Mobile. Charlotte wide receiver Grant DuBose is going down there. And then just announced tonight, right before we started recording, Louisville quarterback Malik Cunningham will also be in Mobile next week at the Senior Bowl. Devin, what name sticks out to you in a way of like, I wish they'd be there? Like, I feel like they need this week. And which of those three, I guess, names are you most excited to see?
I mean, personally, and like, you know, just kind of entertainment wise, I would have loved to see Tyree Wilson one-on-ones, and get to see kind of that strength you see on his film, you know, kind of in person, and see how he can really, you know, kind of solidify. Cause like, to me, I still would have felt like if he went down there and accept the invite, he would have been like a one and done practice type of dude. Like, he would have wrecked things the first day of practice, and then he's like, okay, you know, that's all I need to show. Devin Witherspoon as well. Just because, you know, he is he's most people's top two or three defensive back in this class, just his combination of physicality, fluidity, and ball skills. But looking at the rest of this list, you would love to see Owen Papo there. You know, very athletic linebacker, but his eyes and eye discipline was something left to be desired. And then, you know, a couple of the safeties like Jair Brown, I had grown to like him in his game, you know, over the last couple of seasons, and thought he had some really nice ball skills and, you know, showed some ability in run support. I thought, you know, him kind of building on that, on a rather, you know, kind of, it's kind of a split safety class that we do have in Mobile. You know, you have like J.O. Skinner, DeMarco Helms from Alabama. And then, you know, the list kind of drops off a little bit. I'm sure I'm forgetting a name or two as well, but I thought you had a really nice chance to kind of separate himself in the safety classes, led by you know, a really talented underclassman in Brian Branch.
Yeah, for sure. I'm
Oh,
looking at the list
Chris
again.
Smith from Georgia. That's who I was missing. Him, put him in that group of J.O. Skinner and DeMarco Helms. I probably put Smith ahead of both those guys.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I feel like Zach Wilson, or not Zach Wilson, Zach Harrison, kind of the same way that we talked about, you know, Perrion Winfrey dominated one-on-ones because he's built like an ox and he's long and explosive. Like, I feel like Zach Harrison could have made a lot of money in Mobile, in those one-on-ones because, again, he's really explosive and he learned how to use that explosiveness rather than trying to prove that he had bend. Like, I felt like he tried to do a lot in his junior year, but. So that's an interesting one to me. I feel like Zach Harrison really could have popped a lot of eyes. Siaki Ika is another interesting one. Again, we'll talk about Siaki tonight. Both of us are a little bit lower on him than consensus. But again, his consensus ranking is kind of high, so I get it if he feels like, you know what, I don't really need this. My ranking is kind of already up there, then yeah, sure, I get it, whatever. But he's just a guy I feel like could have shown a little something in Mobile and one-on-ones that you don't really see on his tape. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good segue, Devin. Then we're talking about defensive tackles tonight. So no Siaki Ika at the Senior Bowl. Again, as we do with all of our positional rankings, we go 5 through 1, give our rankings, talk a little bit about each of the prospects we hit on. For defensive tackles, though, we're going to do it a little bit different because DT1 in this class is very, very obvious that Jalen Carter is probably a class above every single other one of these tackles. So we don't want to waste one of our 1 through 5 on a guy we know. So what we're going to do is actually do 2 through 6. I'll let Devin talk a little bit about Jalen Carter, and then we're going to dive into 2 through 6. We still get those 5 names without burning one of them on an obvious candidate. So Devin, Jalen Carter, why is he talked about as perhaps the best defensive player in the class, him and Will Anderson? What does he bring to the table?
I mean, simply to kind of put it bluntly, we were talking about him a little bit more than we were Jordan Davis last cycle, and I think that kind of speaks to what he brings to the table. He has powerful hands, you know, can anchor really well in the middle of the defense, just incredibly quick off the football. You know, the quickness we really haven't seen in quite some time from a defensive tackle prospect. And just being able to combine moves. He's not just a guy that's gonna bull rush you. He's not a guy who's just gonna swim you. He uses his active hands, swipes him away, able to dip and bend at his size, which is it's just unheard of for a player of his size and stature. And he just wrecks game plans, simply put. You know, if you think about the Ohio State Georgia game, they made such a detailed plan to slow him down and keep him from making noise. And he still did what he had to do. You know, whether it was double teams where he was getting chip blocked, he still found a way to cause havoc. And I think that just speaks to the type of player he is. So he is defensive tackle one. I don't really want to hear a debate. I know there's a defensive tackle from an ACC school that ended up in a top 10 in a mock. I just don't see him in that category or close to that category, for my one or two, frankly, as well.
I don't see him in a category in my top 6. So I think we'll probably talk about him a little bit tonight too when we get there. But Yeah, I mean, Jalen Carter's such it's a no-brainer. Like, he's got heavy hands. He moves laterally well for his size. When he is, you know, when it's time to pin his ears back, I can tell he has a pre-snap plan, and he's got a hot motor, and he knows how to hit counters. Like, what does this guy's got everything. So, again, he does have that knee injury in his past, so we'll see about the medicals. But like, on tape, there's absolutely nothing that says this guy's not dominant. So, there's really no need to talk anymore about Jalen Carter. But now, again, going 6 through 2, so we still hit those five numbers. Devin, DT6 for you. Who is it?
Yeah, so I want to preface my rankings to say I am not a fan of defensive tackles that are space eaters. Primarily, that's the primarily their function. And I understand there's a role for them. But I just wanted to preface my rankings by saying that because I understand, like, you know, there's going to be a need for nose tackles or there's a need for one techs, guys that clog up running lanes. But I like my guys a little bit more versatile and can bring a little bit of both. But anyway, my number six defensive tackle is Kobe Woodin from Auburn. I really, really like his game. I went to a Penn State Auburn game earlier this season just as a fan, and every single play, I felt like he was in on it. You know, and then you went back and watched the tape. You see him able to bench press offensive linemen and two gaps at points and be able to you know, make the tackles in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage. I really like his leverage that he plays with, has some strong hands. I thought he could be a little bit better on double teams. That was one of my negatives. I thought he didn't drop his knee. Like there, you know, there's a certain technique to be able to split double teams, dropping your knee and trying to win in kind of the leverage battle. And I thought, you know, he tried a little bit too much to go around it or go through it, and that caused him to kind of get displaced from his hole. But I really like his pass rush upside as well. Has a nice swim move, can replace the hands, bull rush as well, one hand stab. So I really like the kind of the overall skill set he brings to the table. He ended up with a late round three grade for me. I just think he's probably trending to more a day three player, but I was really impressed with him. And thought, you know, he should certainly be in the consideration as, you know, not a top defensive tackle in this class, but a very talented one.
Yeah, I like Wooden a bit too. I think I have a day three grade on Wooden, and I have him, I think, eight, a little bit further down my list. I think with some of the concerns I have with Wooden is like, is he an end or is he a tackle? Because he did both at Auburn.
Right.
And some of his play strength stuff and tackle that tackle was like, but some of his explosive stuff at end was like, eh. So I think those are some questions I have about Wooden. And also he's got 32-inch arms. So when we're talking about creating leverage points, when we're talking about the ability to get into defenders' chests, like those are I clearly see like and somebody's gonna love the versatility of Wooden. Like I think that means he could probably play a lot of 4-eye, some 5-tech, like and you could probably get really good usage out of him. So I get it. I get the appeal of Wooden. He's a good player. My six is actually Jervon Dexter out of Florida. Again, Devin and I talked about this. This is probably the first podcast where we're really going to disagree on a lot of our rankings, and where I feel like our consensus, like we're going to be way off with consensus of defensive tackles, and that's okay. Like that's fine. Jervon Dexter is a lot higher in consensus rankings. Like he's going top 40 in mock drafts, top 50 in mock drafts, and I get it. I'd probably still take him top 50. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I talked too soon on that, but. Jervon Dexter, I see the tools, man. He's explosive as hell, like super explosive, really heavy hands, converts speed to power really well. But I don't think he does anything other than work through the chest of blockers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he has a pass rush plan on passing downs. I don't think he knows how to use his hands at all, man. Like, it's all straight through the chest. It's all bull rush. It's all, long arm like that. That's it. So I really struggle with him as a pass rusher. I think his pad level is not very consistent, not very disciplined. What I think why I'm so low on him the most is his motor. Like Man, I don't think he's, at least on tape, I don't think he's engaged every single time he's on the field. I think every single time he's on the field. And so I really struggle with Dexter tape. I think his ceiling is extraordinary. If he gets a coach that lights a fire under him and that can refine his hands a little bit to do more than just work through the chest, and can get him to fire out low consistently, then yeah, man, his lower half is rocked up. His lower half is explosive as hell. So I get it. His thing is really high, but I feel confident saying that the floor of Dexter is one of the lowest in the draft class of guys that you'll see up at the top. Like, I think Jalin Hyatt's floor is really low too, out of 10, the wide receiver of Tennessee. But I think Jervon Dexter's floor is really low if he doesn't figure it out.
Yeah, Dexter is not in my top five. I'll go ahead and say that. It was a lot of the concerns you said, the lack of pass rush plan, just not using his hands enough for a guy of that size. So he is DT number eight for me currently. But I still think he's a good player. But those concerns, especially not using his hands very well at that size and where he's going to end up playing. Really concern me and why he didn't make my top five. But going with the next one at number five for me is Mazi Smith from Michigan. I think he is a very, very explosive athlete with untapped potential still. He's a player that immediately came in this season and was a good run defender, able to slash and gash in slanting and being able to be a force in the run game. For me, it was a lot of times he's not super quick off the ball, which I'm not sure why that exactly is, because you see the explosive profile. I know he has the explosive profile. Pass rush plan also leaving some things to be desired because you see the tools he has. He's a explosive player, but I didn't see him really make much of an effort outside of trying to bull rush or trying to swim and trying to win quickly at the point of attack and pass sets. And for me, I just wanted to see more. I was left wanting more from his film, more so than like some of the other players that are ahead of him and why he ended up at number five for me.
Yeah, that's a good segue to me because he's my number five as well. So, yeah, number five for me as well is Mazi Smith. So, I have some of those same concerns, but I think at the end of the day, like when he does get off the ball, well, he ragdolls, dude, man. Like he ragdolls dudes. Like he's got such heavy hands. Again, he's the top rated player on Bruce Feldman's freak list for a reason, and it kind of shows up on tape. Heavy hands, really, really explosive, can really generate movement off the line of scrimmage when he gets into the chest of blockers across from him. And I've even seen him do some freaky stuff where he's stunting outside and playing outside of his frame around the outside track. Like those are really uncoachable things. But again, as you mentioned, there's uncoachable things that Mozzie's really get under wraps as well. He's gonna go second round. Like he's not falling out of the second round. That's just how it is. He's gonna test off the charts. He's gonna, even he had that like gun charge that got dropped to a misdemeanor in November. Teams are gonna look right past that. Again, it's not a big deal. It got dropped to a misdemeanor. So, he's an explosive, powerful dude with sledgehammers for hands, and so that's why he sits at number five for me too. Again, there's just some of that coachable stuff that just needs a little bit of sharpening. And again, as we're talking, we're getting into our top five, even our six, at least my six. Like, I think all these dudes could go top 65, like top 64 that we're talking about. I'm a little lower in Wooden, but I could see a team biting. But we're talking about Dexter. We're talking about Mazi Smith. Like, these guys can go top 65. They're going to go top 65. So it's a pretty deep defensive tackle class. From top into depth. So, if you need a defensive tackle, like my team, the Cleveland Browns, this is a good one to need one in. So, moving into number four, Devin, who you got it for?
Yeah, this one's gonna make you happy. It's Byron Young from Alabama.
Ooh.
I loved his tape, man. and we talked about it. I was blown away. I don't know what I was expecting. I know you said good things about, but still, you tried to keep that clear mind of you don't want it to, interfere with your evaluation. So, we had talked about weeks ago. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna wait a little bit. I'm gonna go ahead and watch them, kind of forget about what you said about them. And man, he is an impressive player. Just the explosiveness, his ability to like, there's so many techniques that he's using that is like NFL stuff, like the forklift I was telling you about. He forklift Darnell Wright. He forklift like two or three Ole Miss offensive linemen in that
That
game.
Ole Miss tape is nutty. It's
Yeah,
some of my
he.
favorite tape of the entire cycle, that Ole Miss tape. My
Yeah,
goodness.
I was hit. The Tennessee Ole Miss games were really ones for me that I was like, okay, like this is what I'm looking for in like a top defensive tackle. Like I want to see someone that's explosive, uses their hands well, can win on the outside track. He did that several times against Ole Miss. So there were so many good things to like about his tape, and what he was able to do. Want to see him anchor a little bit better in the run game. I thought there was sometimes he was getting double teamed and he got displaced a little bit, but I didn't see him like, get like knocked on the ground or anything like that. Just slightly displaced and left a hole in the running game. But you're gonna get a versatile dude that is really talented. And you talk about making some money in Mobile. I think he's gonna be that guy that to do that.
I 100% agree. And I'll talk a little bit more about Byron later because he's a little bit higher than me for four, than four for me. So my fourth guy is Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin. Here's the thing about Keanu Benton. I was really low on him about at the midway point of the season. I watched this tape and I was like, man, this guy didn't get better. This guy didn't get better. But then Jim Leonard took over and something switched in that defensive unit. But those dudes turned it up, including Keanu Benton. And his tape down the stretch is really good. It's pretty stinking good. And again, he's got long 34-inch arms. He's explosive. He moves really, really well for his size. He's an agile dude for being as big as he is. So again, there's a lot of tools to work with Keanu Benton. And I think he understands how to attack as a pass rusher a little bit better than some of these other guys, the Dexters we're talking about, the Mazi Smiths we're talking about. And I think that's what kind of separates him. So I put him at four for me. Again, I think he's going to test really well at the combine. I think he's going to have a really good week in Mobile. Like Keanu Benton's pretty stinking good. Dane Brugler's been mocking him in like the 40s in mock drafts. So the NFL loves him. Keanu Benton's good, man. It's incredible to me. Again, what sets him apart is how light he is on his feet. Like that dude is incredibly agile for his size.
I don't know if I should be surprised or not, but he's my number three guy on my list. So Keanu Benton, a lot of what you said is a lot of what I've been, kind of echoing about him. I think he is him and Byron Young, I think can or they might really tear up Mobile, man. Like it might be an ugly day for the centers and guards down in Mobile. But Benton is someone. I recall watching him like the summer before the 2021 season, and I just threw on some Illinois and Wisconsin tape. I see some guy two gapping. I'm like, oh, wait a minute now, like that's when I got intrigued and I kept watching the game. And there were times like he was winning so quickly off the ball, and I watched the game earlier in the season against Washington State too, and there was a couple plays where he was in the backfield. Luckily, Cam Ward was elusive because he would have had two or three sacks in that game alone. Then, like you said, down the stretch he played really, really well. And I just like his skill set, and I think he's going to fit in the modern NFL. It's going to allow him to be on the field more than two downs as well, because I think the pass rush upside is there.
Yeah, if you want a marquee game of Benton's to watch, one t the 2021 tape against Purdue, dude, that he gets into somebody's chest and just drives them, the center's chest, and just drives them 5 yards in the backfield. It's unbelievable. But this season, I watched the Minnesota game down the stretch, and my goodness, he's dominant in that Minnesota game. Again, we're talking about a center that a lot of people like in Jonmichael Schmitz, and then Benton gave him fits all game. He's a really good athlete and a really good player at his size. Again, cat's out of the bag. I love Byron Young. He's my number three. Dude, I don't get it. I've talked with Dane Brugler a little bit about this, and scouts have a like day three grades on this guy, and I don't get it. And again, this is one of those players who I'm just not going to line up consensus with, and just like he is like the definition of a guy I would pound the table for. Again, although you mentioned it, he's explosive, 33 and 5/8 inch arms, pretty long arms, knows how to get into blockers' chest. He's powerful, can convert speed to power, plays a lot of 4i5 tech as well for Alabama. And you mentioned he wins along the outside track. He's versatile, he's powerful, he two gaps really well, man. Like that Tennessee game, he's two gapping at a really high level. Man, I love Byron Young, one of my favorite players in this class. I think he's going to tear it up in Mobile, and then he's going to go to to Indianapolis, and he's going to test really well. I think Byron Young's on the rise from this why ever NFL scouts don't like him at this point. I think we're going to see Byron Young take a big rise, but he's my DT3, man. I've been on the Byron Young DT3 train for a long time, and his tape hasn't gotten worse. Like he's an explosive, dominant player. Like that Ole Miss tape again, like I was saying, is nutty. He had two sacks in that game, of one where he works Nick Broeker, like the last one on that last drive, he works Nick Broeker, throws him inside, outside, inside, sheds him, sacks Jackson Dart. It's unbelievable how much he's stack peaking chetting in one rep, but he knows how to use his hands better than most players in this class. Like the amount of hand usage that he puts on tape is astounding. I love Byron Young, man. I love him.
Yeah, like I said, man, I just blown away. And look, isn't how you love Byron Young is my love for Keanu Benton. They're both our third guys. So I think that speaks to, the types of players, one, we like, and then two, just like, explosive athletes that know how to use their hands. That's a big one for me. Like I understand the allure of Ika and what he's able to do, but man, the hand usage is critical, and we see that every down in the NFL. Number two for me is Brian Brisset from Clemson. Listen, I'm not going to try and figure out why people are lowing this guy. I understand that he has had an injury history, and it's going to be big. Medicals are going to be huge for him. But when he's on the field, man, he is damn disruptive.
Yes, he
And
is.
they use him all over the line. You need him to play 4i5, bump down into the interior. He's causing havoc at any place that he is. North Carolina tape was absolutely astounding. Being able to win on the outside track, as well at his size too, at 300 pounds, and looking nimble on his feet. And there are a lot of times where he like quickly wins and he just can't get to the quarterback because he throws it so quickly. And to me, I still count that as a positive. I think a lot of people are kind of looking at the box scores and seeing that he doesn't have the production that Jalen Carter has, or a Keanu Benton, or some of the other guys that are being talked about in the top 50. But there's a reason he keeps getting mocked by like the Dane Bruglers of the world and Jordan Reeds and inside the top 10, 15. He's an explosive dude who's probably going to test off the charts
Oh, he's
when
got to
it
test off.
comes down
It's
to
going
it.
to be a freak show after
Yeah.
Alabama, man.
So then everyone's going to be like, oh, see, told you he was top 10 all along. So it's going to be one of those situations for sure.
Yeah, that North Carolina tape, man. I watched that the other day, and those reps you're talking about, there's like it's a two play back-to-back sequence where he lines up with the right tackle in a five tech look, and push pulls him and dips around the outside shoulder, which at 6'5", 300 pounds is unbelievable. But then the next play, the offensive tackle kind of anticipates that and oversets on him, and he hits him with a spin move inside and gets a pressure. It's just he's so light on his feet, so agile, does some things that dudes who are 6'5", 300 pounds shouldn't be able to do with their body. Again, the medicals are going to be huge. Again, I do think there is some credence. Some of his early season tape is it's a little passive. It's a little passive. But again, like when there's dudes who are built in labs and can do things that not normal people can do, you have to point that out. And Brian Bercy is like the definition of that. The definition of that. And so I think that rounds out our two through sixes. Again, mine were, again, Jalen Carter's at one, Brian Bercy at two, Byron Young at three, Keanu Benton at four, Mazi Smith at five, Jervon Dexter at six. Devin.
Yeah, for me, Jalen Carter one, Brian Brise two, Keanu Benton three, Byron Young four, Mazi Smith five, and then Kobe Wooden at six.
Nice. Devin, we also have to talk. There's a couple of defensive tackles. One who's getting mocked in the top 10 by Mel Kiper that I have no idea why he's getting mocked in the top 10, because I don't know if he's like a fringe top 10 tackle, in my opinion. And another one who is getting mocked first round, who neither of us had in our top six. So let's start there. Why are you low on Siaki Ika out of Baylor?
I just didn't see him get better. I honestly didn't. Like when I watched him over the summer, I was like, okay, this dude, has some explosiveness. He's pushing the pocket. He is, winning at the point of attack. Then you turn on the tape this year and it was underwhelming. He still had some wins, here and there, but he wasn't a stout in the run game. He was getting double teamed and getting moved out the ball and being displaced. And then, there's just not much there in terms of a pass rush plan. It's a bull rush, a swim move. And then pretty much from there, you see it kind of get stalled out, whether it's he might win on the swim move, but then, kind of just get clogged in kind of the mess of the offensive line and he just never gets through. And a lot of his wins are late. A lot of the times he's disengaging right as a quarterback's throwing the ball, he's there in his face, but the ball's already gone. So there were just things on this tape that it just didn't add up, like where he's being mocked at in the level of play. I just didn't see the same level of play from his previous tape. Cause if we're going off last year's tape, I 100% I could see it, but this year's tape, it just took a step back. I didn't see him be as dominant as you want a defensive tackle or nose tackle you're planning on taking in the first round. I want him making plays almost every drive, and there were long stretches of time, especially in the TCU tape and Oklahoma tape, where he was even on the field. So I don't know if you can play him three downs, man.
I have those same fears, man. Again, sure, he's a good space eater, but like, why are you drafting a space eater in the first round if that's what you're looking at? Again, we are talking about, you mentioned the Oklahoma, the Texas, the TCU tape. He is off the field a lot. And I don't think that's because they're preserving him for the NFL. I think that's because, like, what are you going to do when teams come out in 11 personnel with four wide? Like, what's Ika bringing to your team in those situations? So, man, I like his Ole Miss tape last year at the bowl game is dominant. Like, it's really good. You can see a pass rush playing. You can see him get after the quarterback. You can see him get pressures. You can see that a little bit of stop start, a hot step off the first step off the line of scrimmage. But like, what happened in 2022 then? Like, why does it look like pedestrian almost? Like, yeah, he can take on two. He's a run stuffer, but like, it's not a first round pick. That's not a top five defensive tackle in this class. So I don't know, man. I really struggled with Ika too. I'm really interested to see how he tested his size, because I mean, people say he's a good at like a freak athlete for his size, but again, he pulled out of the Senior Bowl and putting a lot of stock on that. And maybe he's not. Again, he's getting mocked in the first round, so scouts obviously love him. So maybe he's not putting any stock in the combine. But like, what happens if he goes there and doesn't test well? How far is he gonna drop? Like, what's gonna happen? So Ika's an interesting case, but again, I'm with you. I don't see a three down player, man. And then this that I kind of hit it at when you talk about is Khalil Clancy, who Mel Kiper mocked in the top 10 of a mock draft recently. And man, we neither of us have had him in our top six. I think he's a day three player. Like, I mean, this guy's probably 5'10", 270 pounds soaking wet. Like, those arms don't look very longer. I struggle to see how some of these getting away with in the ACC is going to translate. Like, he's getting off the ball hot and he's blown by dudes. Like, good for Cansey. Like, the reason he's one of the tackles in the nation and it that during his time at Pitt. But like, when you're playing a Jason Kelce or some of these elite centers in the league, some of these elite guards in the league, Opetonio, Wyatt Teller, these dominant linemen, like I don't think that's gonna fly. You can't hit him with a spin move every single time you come off the ball. Like it's, I don't see how his game translates when he doesn't have length to get into dudes' chests. And again, this is different than Ed Oliver being 6'1", 285. This is different than Aaron Donald being 6'2", 285. Like this dude's probably 5'10", 270 with, I mean, if his arms are over 32 inches long, they're not over 32 inches long by much.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I saw a explosive player that, was able to kind of knife through defenses and win with his speed off the ball, and the spin move is deadly, but you just wonder how that's going to translate, man. And I just don't see it translating as well, to the NFL game. And I think that's kind of the reason why, he's like a fringe top 10 guy for me, at the defensive tackle position. You see so many guys that have the size, that have the arm length, that have the explosive tape, and he has good tape. I'm not going to say he doesn't. He has good tape, but is it sustainable is the question. You think about the guys that have broken some of the NCAA records for like interceptions or for sacks sometimes. Like the way you can win at the college level is not the same, And I just don't see that directly translating. Now, I think he could be, there's a situation, maybe you play him at three tech or you let him one gap or let him shoot gaps. And I could see him having some success in league, but a guy that you take in top 10, he better be producing at a not an all pro level, but at least a Pro Bowl level early on. And I just don't see that with him. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve how to win without length, especially, and then how to be savvy about it. I think he has some savviness in this game, but I don't see a guy that should be mocked in the first round, frankly.
Again, I think he's a day three player, and like, I really struggle to see how that game's going to translate. Again, I think he's a good player, so at bare minimum, maybe you put him on the field in like obvious pass rush situation sub packages. But man, I think he's going to get blown off the ball. I think he's going to get eaten up at the NFL level. And again, I could be wrong. Like, we could this hot take your freezing cold takes could come and find this podcast and 4 years from now and 3 years from now, and Kansas is blowing up the league, but. I mean, he's got excellent production at the college level, but I think there's a really different standard between ACC tackles and what he's going to be facing at the NFL level, man.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the ACC tackles he went up against. I mean, it's not a ton of NFL talent there, So I think he can very well be a fine player, but if we're expecting a Aaron Donald type situation, I think we're fooling ourselves here.
Completely agree, man. So I think we kind of see, I guess, our outliers in this defensive tackle class a little bit the same, even if our top six didn't completely line up. But again, Devin, we're to the point now where we do this every week. We talk a player or two that has really stood us in this past week when we've been watching tape, kind of building our big boards. So Devin, I'll turn the floor over to you for your first guy that's really stood out to you.
Yeah, I'll go with Isaiah McGuire from Missouri. He is just a really interesting player. I was just watching, trying to catch a few more guys before I head over to Mobile next week and getting some more background on some of these dudes. And man, I like McGuire a lot. Really liked his ability to use his length to kind of stack. Shed and like take a peek and make tackles in a run game. Thought he had some first step explosiveness in pass rush situations. Doesn't have a great pass rush plan, but you can see him bend corners, be able to use his hand swipes to disengage. He has some good moments against Broderick Jones as well in his tape against Georgia. But I really liked his tape against Georgia especially. I thought he was all over the field making tackles in the run game, creating pressures in the pass situations. In his tape against Florida as well, I thought he had some nice moments too in that game too. Just want to see a better pass rush plan, kind of use more of that length that he has, and converting speed to power a little bit better, and just kind of stringing moves a little bit together more. But I ended up with a day two grade on him, like a mid third rounder. And it just kind of shows how deep this edge class is too, when you can find a guy like him. Probably might get pushed to day three, just with how much depth this edge class is. I don't see him. He's not like a guy that's like sticking out from kind of that pack. I kind of see like him, Zach Harrison, Derek Hall, kind of in that conglomerate of edges that are really good and have some, like some good power or a menace in the run game, some length. But I haven't put it all together, but I really like this game.
A little bit of his 2021 tape. I haven't been yet. Again, we haven't talked edge, so I'm sure I'll get there. Again, I'm trying to knock through some of these top guys in the class, but I'll hit these pieces later. But McGuire's the guy who has my interest. My first guy, man, I have a new draft crush that I watched the other day, man, in Cincinnati wide receiver Tyler Scott. I wish I would have watched this guy before we talked wide receivers, because he would have been a fringe top five guy for me when we were talking wide receivers. Like, he's explosive, man. He's, again, not very big, but when we're talking this wider class, like, who is, we're talking about a bunch of guys who are 5'10", 5'11", 185 pounds. So he's already been clocked at a 4.29 40-yard dash. And his change of direction is unbelievable for how fast he is. So he can get in and out of breaks almost lossless speed. Man, he's really freaking good. And his route tree's like pretty full. Like, he'll run in breakers, he'll run breakers, he'll run posts, run vertical. He's got a pretty full route tree. And one thing surprisingly Cincinnati didn't do is give him a lot of manufactured touches, which I think is definitely within his scope and skills at the NFL level. So this didn't take the top off, and he is explosive and dynamic. So Tyler Scott blew me away. Actually graded him out as wide receiver six, and I think he's gonna go in the second round, dude. He's good.
Yeah, he's been a player that I got on my list to take a look at, and just seeing clips and passing of how fast and explosive he is, definitely intrigues me. So I'm looking forward to diving into to his game. The other player that I wanted to mention is a guy that I don't see going early in the draft or even early day three. I see more of a late day three. And maybe even a priority UDFA guy, but Daniel Scott, the safety from Cal, he's a 6 year guy, is older guy. I think he's 24 years old now, which immediately makes him a day three guy, just in the, at that position, and his size. He's not a terribly big dude. I think he was like 6 foot two, 205. But I really liked his versatility, especially. Because with Kyle, they kind of use him all over the field at nickel, kind of rotated him into one high looks, two high looks. Kind of his usage, I won't say this is a direct comp, but kind of his usage remind me of Reed Blankenship, coming when he was coming out of Middle Tennessee,
Okay.
and he's carved a nice role with the Eagles as
Yes.
UDFA. I kind of see a similar path for him. I really like his ability to attack the football. There was a play against Washington State where he started off in a two high look, rotated to a single high, didn't have anything threatening immediately play side. So he found the backside post and went and got an interception in the red zone against Cam Ward in that offense. So that play really piqued my interest. There was a couple plays he made against USC too. Nice job, knifing through and making a tackle in the backfield on a screen pass. And then there was a short in-breaking or out-breaking route, just a quick out that he closed on and got his hand on from about 8 yards off the ball. And I was like, okay, he can make some plays. And man, made some plays in single high as well. Well, it carved together a really nice season. His best game was probably Stanford. There was a seam route that Tanner McKee tried to throw. He was able to get underneath it, got a pick, and then he also had a forced fumble in that game. So production is there. Bit of an older guy. I think he's probably going to get a lot of special teams work early in his career. He was virtually on every special teams, but he'll be down in Mobile. So it'll give me a better look on where exactly does he fit. Is he going to be in a too high look? Is he a one high guy? Do you put him at nickel? So I expect him to be used kind of all over the place in Mobile, but certainly, kind of piqued my interest just with, one, how many different positions he lined up at, and then two, just making some plays on the football and having some ball skills. So, I'm not sure if he's going to crack, someone's top 10 or even top 15 safety rankings, but if you're looking for a guy that can come in and at least push for a roster spot, I certainly see that path for him.
I'm excited to dive into the safety class a little bit in more depth. I've got some of the top guys in the class, but the safeties eventually, and I'll get there. High praise. My second guy, again, we're going to talk corners next week. I can say definitively that we're going to talk corners next week because we talked about it already beforehand. So I won't go into him in too much depth because I don't want to spoil an episode for next week. But Maryland corner, Deontay Banks, dude, that guy's a dog. I just watched the Ohio State game today, and I watched the Penn State game too. But the Ohio State game, man, he's pretty much matched up on Marvin Harrison most of the game. Again, he got some reps against Julian Fleming in as well. There's one rep where Ohio State tries to run mesh, where Julian Fleming is one of the shot crossers, and he doesn't get off the ball. He just doesn't get into his route because Banks squares him up and puts his hands on him. It doesn't, and it's over. The reps are so. And he comes back and he plays later in and hits on man coverage on Marvin Harrison Jr., who runs a comeback. And Marvin does a really good job to stem his route. Obviously, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in the nation, but does a really good job to stem his routes to open up Banks's hips before breaking off back outside on his comeback. And Banks speed transitions right with him, stride for stride, to get his entire body turned around and flip his hips. So I see the hype again. Dane Miller mocked him in the first round, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? So checked him out, man. Banks can play. He can play vertical speed. I think, I mean, he's not as fluid as a guy like Christian Gonzalez or as fluid as a guy like Devin Witherspoon, but and again, we'll come out of like some technique stuff more next week and really go in depth, but he's a dog. And he's not afraid to use his hands. And some of the reps where he's deconstructing blocks are just hilarious. Bank up there for me, man.
Yeah, I was telling you earlier. I just remember like first week or two, like I was just going through and just I think I went back and looked at some, Senior Bowl like, preseason guys and Ja'Cory Bennett came out. So I was like, okay, I'll take a look at what's up with this Maryland's defense and I was like, Bennett had a pretty good game. I think he had like one or two interceptions in that game, but it's like who's this other corner, like I see him like closing on routes pretty quickly, transitioning well. And I'm mad at myself I didn't follow up on that just because, you get lost in the season and watching other dudes. But I'm very excited to go back and take a look at him a little bit closer and seeing, just how good he is. And very excited to see, man, this corner class is special, special, special talents, man, for sure. And I'm excited to dive into it more. I already got Witherspoon done and did Porter Jr. as well. Got Christian Gonzalez on the list. So getting through some of the top guys, but even some of the depth guys I'm looking forward to getting to as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, we'll be back next week. Again, lots of NFL draft stuff coming up. I mean, in the next month, we'll have Super Bowl and Combine, Super Bowl, all this stuff coming up. So a lot to look forward to. But for now, again, we've talked so far, man, Devin, we've hit running back. Although we haven't hit running back in depth. We just talked about Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. We still got running back to do. We talked about wide receiver, tight end, offensive tackle. Defensive tackle. Is that it?
Yep, that's
Yeah,
all we
so
got so far.
we've hit four position groups already. Again, next week will be corners, so that'll be five for us. By the time we're done with this, we'll have enough prospects watch to have board conversation, maybe a little bit of live mock draft auction. So action. So we're just getting started. So again, our views, Devin, have been growing every week, so that's really exciting. But I think that's it for now, Devin. You got anything for the people before we head out?
Man, I'm just excited to get down to Mobile and cover the Senior Bowl. get there in person and seeing a lot of the guys we talked about tonight. Because there's a handful of them that are going to be down at the Senior Bowl and can make a name for themselves. So, especially for me, I think I'm most excited for those one-on-ones, defensive tackles, and edge class. I think they're going to dominate the offensive line class. They got some good offensive linemen that's going to be down there, some that can certainly help their stock, but I think overall there's going to be a lot of fun reps happening, and man, you're really going to see kind of some of these guys up close and personal, and I think it's going to be a good week, man.
Yeah, Devin will be there. I will not be. I'm jealous. Haven't been there since 2020. But again, I have a 1 year old and five, leaving my wife for 5 days isn't super doable right now. So, but hopefully next year. Hopefully next year. Yeah, Devin, we should find time to chat next week, I hope. But now that I
Oh
say that,
yeah, we will. We will.
cool,
Don't
cool,
worry
cool.
about that.
Again, the past few years they've done a really good job of doing virtual credentials, but they still give you access to film even when you aren't there. So I'm hoping I can get those and at least break down film so I can join the conversation next week. So, but I think that's it. Again, you can find me at Real Corey Kinnan, and Devin, I can find you at.
Real D underscore Jackson.
There we go. All right, people. Next week, that's it for the Daft Dog Draft Podcast.